Okay, all right. it's you go. You go first, Nate.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Just... Thanks for that. No, that's a nice change.
Off to a strong start.
He's already gone.
Yeah.
Already gone. Right. You ready now, Lawrence?
I'm ready.
Okay, good. Did you know that the
Scenes.
Oh, God. It's because it went away from my phone. I forgot the cue. The cue ball. Right. We ready? No more laughing. Meadows, you want to do an outtake?
Well, we've got this is all going in.
Good, yeah. That's what cheat weight now.
Eight.
We have kids that listen, Nate. Right, let's go. Okay. We ready? 3, 2, 1. Did you know that the pirate Blackbeard graduated school? Yeah, he left with grades in the high seas.
For listeners only, and I'm going to clip this up, Nate just did a dramatic zoom on his webcam to see the reaction of his joke, and it was better than the joke itself.
I didn't even know you could do that.
No, I didn't until I was talking to Meadows just before you arrived, and I was doing this. I was just like zooming in like this. Can you see that?
Yeah, I can see that you're getting closer again. And closer and closer to me, Nate.
Thank you for describing that for everyone, Brad.
Yeah. And then I said we've got to do it when Lawrence logs in. Very clean start that one. No outtakes beforehand, which personally I love. How's everyone? Also, we'll get to the joke rating in a minute. How's everyone? I've barely seen you guys recently.
For context, I was sat next to Nate for the entirety of the Canada Grand Prix weekend, and I've seen a lot of Lawrence because he just keeps asking for information on his upcoming stag do, which we will not give him.
No.
Bachelor party to our American friends.
I think it's deeply unfair, guys. We've been friends for a long time, haven't we? And I've always been nice to you guys. So I'm just asking for a little bit of help.
There's an unwritten rule, Lawrence, that you should know by this point, that on no circumstances does the groom or the stag or the bachelor, whatever people call him, gets to know what his friends do to him for the weekend. That's just what happens.
Yeah.
What we put you through.
But you know I'm not very good with surprises, Nate.
But you that make it better when you know you're hurtling through the air or whatever it is making you do.
I don't want to end up being thrown out of a plane.
Well, listeners, we'll update you. You know, might just be a two-man show next week, going forward, but we'll see. That's TBC.
Okay. Well, I better make this potentially last joke rating a good one then, Nate.
Yeah, this is quite a big one, actually. You know, this could be it. Maybe some sad music before you give it. Ba 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 ba.
Scrubs.
Ba ba ba. Yeah. Ba 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 ba.
Oh, this is a really dark start to the podcast, but I'm going to brighten it up, Nate, because I'm going to give you an 8.4 plus 0.5 for the camera zoom, because I felt like that, he's just done it again. I feel like it added something else to the joke.
It did. I've realized the whole thing.
For our listeners, it did not. But
terrible,
for me,
terrible for the listeners, but great for Lawrence. They don't give me the rating you do. I'm leaning into what you like.
So that's an 8.9. Nate, an 8.9.
An 8.9.
Oh, yes.
For some.
Welcome all to the latest edition of The Paddock. I'm joined by Nate and Chris. And me, and we've been together for quite a lot of the time.
Joined by you.
Also, it gets really like kind of softly spoken.
Welcome to morning radio with me.
It's the time. It's 5:48.
Pour yourself a cup of coffee.
It was because I was
spread that Philadelphia on the toast, and sit down with me, Lawrence Barretto, as I take you through the morning's news. That's what you sounded like. You could do that pretty well, actually. A lost career for you.
And coming up later. Alan's deep bath. One for the Partridge fans there, which is nobody from America, but never mind.
I was just trying to compose myself, guys, because I've just been laughing a lot in this podcast so far, plus all of the chat that we had beforehand. And I'm just trying to bring a nerve of calm to this chat.
Okay. No, it is working. I feel calm.
Yeah.
I'm zen right now.
Yeah, I get the feeling that, Lawrence, you're just trying to calm yourself because you're very nervous
it's
about
be a big week, mate.
Your
be
week, week and weekend.
You know. I'm really nervous. You know I don't cope well with this. I get stressed very easily.
Yeah, I noticed. It's just funny that when you're on that plane, you probably thought to yourself, it's the last time I'm going to be this high up, you know, coming back from Canada, but it's not, is it? But yeah, you'll be fine, mate. It'll be fine. I mean, look, it might be the most terrifying thing you ever do, but then it's done.
On a personal note, I can only regale you with a story since our last pod of my own stag, where I had to spend 2 hours on a drip in hospital.
See, this is what I'm worried about.
So
this is what I'm worried about.
Yeah, but Meadows, it was such a Meadows story. So if people listening, I didn't manage to go to Meadows' wedding, but the first picture I
got. I'm not married yet.
Stag, you know what I mean? Well, I don't know what I mean. I couldn't go to Meadows' stag. Freudian slip there, Meadows. By the way, I can't go to your wedding, mate. Yeah, I should, should tell you that. No, first picture I get from Lawrence Edmondson was a picture of Medland in a hospital bed. And I was like, and it was like 2 hours in. I was like, what the fuck's happened? Sorry, what the flip has happened?
It's all right. It's an explicit pod.
Explicit content.
So Lawrence Edmondson didn't even get to witness it. He got this because he was on the group because he only joined late.
Right.
So he got sent it beyond like later on. And it was basically that I maintain that I did not have too much to drink on the Sunday night. I was actually quite reserved. So I was surprised to not feel well or not be well that night and then to not feel well all the next day. But I ended up on a boat trip that basically triggered some seasickness, and because I was already not feeling well and had been being sick, I just couldn't stop throwing up. So I ended up massively dehydrated, and they worried about my blood pressure getting really low, and then the crew decided, actually, probably needs an ambulance when we get back to shore. So they took me to hospital and, gave me some fluids and stuff like that and sorted me out.
Go on, Lawrence, you go first.
I was going to say...
Questions.
I wonder, A, how often the people who run that boat have to send someone off in an ambulance, and like whether they've seen people in that state before. And B, Meadows, I'm disappointed this is the second time you've been in an ambulance in about 12 months when you were away.
So the answer to A was that state, not very much. They get people that are seasick and they easily deal with that. But they were the ones that then got worried when I got like really unwell and like weak and like I was like shaking and stuff because my body was trying to get my blood pressure back up. So that's when they were like, okay, this is bad. So that's when they said, maybe we need an ambulance. Up to then, it'd been fine. The rest of my mates had a great time on the boat because it's a lovely boat. And I was kind of glad of that. It was only when it got to the point that they then said, maybe we should worry now, that I was like, oh, I'm really ruining it for everyone. But ironically as well, I was dressed as a sailor because my nickname is Captain Sips amongst my friends for one night where I tried to make two beers last a whole night because I didn't have much money as an 18-year-old. So I was sipping away at it, and someone didn't like a joke I made at their expense. So they were like, all right, Captain Sips. Because I was dressed as a sailor at the time. So that stuck. So that's what I walked out of the hospital wearing. That was quite interesting. Funnily enough, it's not surprising that the hospital, they were like, oh, this guy was drunk. And at the time, I very much was not drunk. It was just really bad seasickness triggered by a number of things, I think. But yeah, I couldn't really defend myself in Spanish looking like that. So apologies.
It's a hard sell, isn't it? English, check. Dressed as a sailor, check. Yeah. On his stag do check, it's like, this guy's clearly drunk out of his mind.
So to be honest, Britta, that's just kind of how it goes, apparently. That's just the sort of thing. Oh, what was question B? Oh, yeah, the first one, though, was just proper illness when I was away. I can't do much about that. That was Australia.
I was going to ask, what was Jess's reaction to the hospital picture? Does she know yet?
Oh, she knows. So I can actually probably find it. There was a very good reaction at one stage. Bear with me, listeners, while I go through the back catalogue of photos so that I can find when I sent it to her. Here we go. So, I dropped a message to say, by the way, she asked me how the boat was. She'd found out, and she said, obviously no pressure to message back, but I hope you're having fun. I was like, so it wasn't great, and explained that it would have been, but this happened. And she just replied, so there's a point, it's three dots was one of the messages, and then I have no words.
I mean, she knows you by now, right?
Yeah, so later she said, I love how on my hen do, no one even had a hangover, which is a lie. At least one of her friends was very hungover. But she said, no one had a hangover and we were taking tactical water breaks and you've ended up in hospital on day one. So, yeah. But I was everything was much better after that. I rehydrated and had a lovely time. So make of that what you will, Lawrence. Some good, some bad.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nate's there you go. No, I'm just in again.
Yeah. I don't know, Lawrence. I think yours could match this for drama.
I feel like to manage my own blood pressure right now, we should move on for this topic because it's only stressing me out. But
okay, things that don't stress you out.
Well, we can talk about our day yesterday, Medders, when we landed from Canada.
We did.
Medders was late. I was.
What? Yeah, but through no fault of my own. But yes.
No, that's true. And we were filming a pilot for a new show on F1 TV, centered around the news. So we got to hang out even more, didn't we?
Yeah, I got to go to Biggin Hill in the F1 studios and actually sit on the sofa. I genuinely felt like I was on Match of the Day, especially with some of the cameras they have that do, like. Sorry to again to American listeners, but Match of the Day, the soccer show, iconic soccer show over here in the UK. And the way one of the cameras work, you genuinely feel like you're on a very similar studio. So it was a lot of fun. Cool crew that was there and we had a good chat. So it was only the pilot. So trying to work out how to make it even better. But it was fun. And then I watched the end of the cricket and that was less fun.
Which we're not talking about.
No.
Any Australian listeners, don't write in. They don't want to hear from you. What? Who else was with you? Is it you two and
Harry Benjamin was our host,
Mr. Benjamin,
indeed. And then just a lot of crew, of which they are friends of Lawrence's and soon to be friends of mine, because if I don't make them friends of mine, they'll never invite me back.
That's true. That's how TV works, my friend.
They are a lovely crew at Formula One, and I'm sure they will have you back, Chris. Don't you worry.
We'll try.
But let's go back even further to the Canadian Grand Prix weekend, guys. And we were all there for a change.
We were. First time for a while we've all been at one. Well, actually, Monaco we were. So that's blown that out of the water, hasn't it?
So out of the last three, yeah.
Two races that we've been at together.
Yeah, but both of you missed Barcelona, which is why neither of you were at my status.
Yes, that's right.
And I'm not bitter about it, but I hate you both. But going to Montreal, then we're like, great, we'll do a podcast in person. This will be a lot of fun. We've even got better kit now. So it'll be higher quality than the really drunk Montreal bar one we did last year, if anyone remembers that. And someone scuppered it.
Now, listeners, who do you think that was? Do you think it was me? Do you think it was Medders? Or do you think it was Nate?
Well, while the listeners work that one out, I think there's a fourth person to add into this. It wasn't any of us. It was a little-known Canadian by the name of Chad Kroeger, who is the front man for Nickelback. And I was out drinking with Stu Morrison, another Canadian, on
Scott.
Tuesday. Slash Scott, yeah. He's from many, many, many places. And he just mentioned, he's like, me and some of the guys from Haas, we're going to Nickelback tomorrow. Me not thinking about plans, I very enthusiastically said, I'm there. I'm in. Let's go. Another journalist bought tickets straight up and then messaged these guys, you want to go to Nickelback? And they're like, oh, aren't we? Tomorrow isn't when we were. And I was like, yeah, about that. So we could have still done it. But then I did some stuff at the circuit. You guys played golf. And by the time I actually met you, I basically ran in and had the fastest two pints. I was the opposite of Captain Sips. I was Captain Gulps. I had two very fast beers and then went to Nickelback, which was awesome. And I don't regret it. So I'm sorry if you guys listening missed the pod. But it came at your expense and not mine because I had a great time. but no, I do apologize for that. And Nickelback, like, I know everyone laughs at them and they are a hilariously bad band, but I like the fact that they clearly just own it and it was a very good show. So would recommend.
Wow.
Thoughts?
Still disappointed.
Yeah, I'm pretty.
That you didn't go or that we didn't do the. That we didn't do the. Because you guys could have come.
Well.
We could have done.
No.
But it was also our friend Beaver's 50th birthday, Nate.
That's true. I don't know Beaver as well as you guys do.
No, that's true. That's true.
Plus, I feel like if the roles were reversed and it was my 50th and Beaver had the chance to get a Nickelback, he would be like, I'm going to go to Nickelback.
He'd be like, you're 50?
Yeah. He'd be like, it's 14 years. No, wait, 16 years from now. Beaver probably still, would he still be doing it? He'd be 66 then. Hopefully he's retired by then. Beaver, please don't be working in F1 at 66.
Do you think not you're going to be working in Formula 1 when you're 66, Nate?
I doubt it, mate. Very much doubt it. 36, hopefully.
God, that's depressing because I'm currently 36 and you're already considering what you're doing at 36.
Yeah, mate.
It's more that he's going to lose his job. That's the joke I was
But I just keep pushing the year back. It used to be I was like, when I get to 30, I'll know what I'm doing. Then 33, now it's 36. So, you know, give it time. It'll be 39 before you know it. Anyway.
It's just me and Nate talking at the minute because Medis is eating.
Ridiculous. What's going on here?
This late arrival from Canada yesterday has screwed me royally. And I have so much to do that genuinely that I'm having lunch while we record a pod. But we're not going to get bogged down by that. We're going to elevate because I reckon everyone's been listening. Like, okay, great. Barretta's got a bachelor party. Who cares? We're not coming. Or are they? And it's like, oh, Nate went to a Nickelback gig. Who cares? Give us some F1. Well, you know what? We've got something just for you.
And this has got something special in it, okay? Something I don't do every week, but I think actually it's pretty spectacular. I'll let you guys listen to it and work it out.
If you've only got 1 minute to spare, wanna know who finished when and where, sit back, relax, cause we got you. Here's Nate with the 60-second review.
Bonjour, hi. Welcome to my review of the 2023 Canadian Grand Prix in Montreal, where they still willingly and inexplicably speak French. What's that about? Anyway, enough about bigotry towards the French, because, you know, that's not acceptable. Don't do it. The French are lovely people. here we go. In 3, 2, 1. First position is Max Verstappen, and I can't even be mad at this. What an absolute legend. Already up there with Senna, which is insane at 25 years old. 25 years old, I was nowhere near Ayrton Senna, so fair play to him. Out of respect for Verstappen, I'm going to do the second bit of this to the tune of the Dutch national anthem. Fernando Alonso, you are fast and I like you. Third position was Lewis Hamilton. Pigs were flying when I left Montreal because Ferrari got their strategy right. Leclerc and Sainz were in fourth and fifth. Someone who's not getting it right at the moment is Sergio Perez, who is just getting more and more disappointing by the day. Someone who is the opposite of Perez and might get that seat one day, maybe, is a complete stud, Alex Albon. Esteban Ocon was in 8th, that was decent. Stroll in 9th, I mean, decent, but the car was way better than that. Bottas got 10th, lost 10th, then got 10th, because Lando Norris had a penalty. Georgie Russell hit the wall, that was naughty George, but his car somehow stayed together, which was remarkable. And yeah, that was Canada. Au revoir. I should have said au revoir bye at the end, shouldn't I? That would have been better. Missed opportunity.
Bonjour, hi.
But thoughts on the new Dutch national anthem? I might keep working on that because I think every week we're going to hear the Dutch national anthem, right? So it's about singing it and including everyone. Inclusion. Thoughts, Lawrence?
He looks so awkward right now.
I don't really know what to say.
Which bit don't you know what to say about?
Any of it?
The French bit?
The French bit was not...
Yeah.
Something. Well, look, listen to any French listeners, okay? So, no, come on. I mean, that's fine. People don't really mind if you knock on the French. I think the French secretly love it as well.
I also know that you're a nice person, Nate, and you don't really mean it.
That's it, exactly. But, you know, it's all banter, isn't it? And the French, they call us roast beefs. So, you know, how rude is that?
Well, there's some very good French in the media centre, such as Julien Billiot, who would absolutely love just to have a mention on the show. But I'm trying to work out if you were offending the French or offending the Canadians or the Quebecois.
Is that what they're called? The Quebecois.
Quebecois, yeah, they're from Quebec. They're Quebecois. Oh.
Quebecois. I thought you just made that up. That sounded very made up.
No. So now you are offending them too. So
yeah. I thought I better message Julien Billiot and be like, please don't listen to this episode because it's very rude about your language, but not your people. Well, maybe a little bit. Anyway, we're losing track of the point here. Decent race, I thought. Yay or nay?
I thought it was pretty decent, to be honest. I know that Max never really looked challenged, but we had a good battle between Fernando and Lewis, which was cool. Like you said in the review, Nate, Ferrari actually weren't terrible. So I think that's a good thing going forward. And there were a fair few battles. Like, Lando was pretty... I know he had his penalty, but he was pretty racy towards the end. I was, like, intrigued throughout the whole race, and I think we've had a few lackluster races, so it was nice to have one that had a little bit more spice.
Could still be a lot better, because, you know, ultimately, if it's not good at the front, I don't think you can ever give it a 10 out of 10 race. But you're right, there was some good stuff. Decent stuff in there.
I agree.
Aston were closer, weren't they, to Red Bull in terms of...
like they were, yeah. Well, one Aston... One Aston was.
Yes, true. One Aston was. I know that the time at the end of the race was skewed because they had the safety car, but I think, generally speaking, on pure pace, they were a little bit closer.
Well, yeah, but Fernando
that time
felt like...
skewed. Oh, sorry.
No, I agree with you, Matt. Fernando felt like, without that issue where he was lifting and coasting, he could have at least been in the mix. So I think it's probably circuit-specific, but quite encouraging, I'd say.
Yeah, the safety car came early enough, and then... Fernando was stuck behind Lewis, so wasn't able to kind of show the pace, whether he had enough to chase Max. But it was the spell after the final pit stop, I think, and Fernando got the gap down. I swear at one point it's 3.8, and it was the middle of the lap where he then went off and lost a load of time. So I remember I was like watching the gaps. I was like, it's still coming down. It had been like before the pit stop, it had been coming down. Then afterwards, it was still like edging down by a couple of tenths each time. And I was just maybe he can get at the very least put pressure on him. And then he had that moment that he went off, which I think was the sign of the brake issue that he started to manage, and then it stopped. So yeah, I think the gap actually ended up bigger than it would have been if he didn't have to manage that problem.
But then Max was also coasting out in front, so I feel like that's also... you're never going to be pushing fully, are you, when you're out in front? So
well, he did say though he was pretty much like he couldn't coast too much because the tires would get too cold on that track, and that they really struggle with that. But, so for them, they actually had to push. So I believe it. If you look at the gaps we've had at other races and how big they've been, like he's still cruising in those races and he's 20-25 seconds up the road, so this was him cruising, and it was only realistically it was going to be about 5, but then Alonso had to nurse it home.
The question is, how much is he cruising? Because I don't think that Red Bull has really been pushed yet by any stretch, and I don't think Max is pushing either, so it could be a significant gap. They're just keeping everything nice and tidy.
Well, I think I think you're right, Lawrence, because like I feel like Aston clearly felt like they could have been closer, but closer to what? To the Red Bull that we saw on the day. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It wasn't like they were closer to Red Bull where they are. We saw this sometimes with Hamilton, didn't we, with Mercedes, where he wouldn't dominate. And then Wolff, because he was great at doing it, would be like, yeah, we don't know why they're so close. The next 6 races, they'd win by like 10 seconds. And it was because often you're just, you know, you're holding things in, you're managing stuff, whatever. Obviously, they're worried about penalties later in the year and stuff. So engine usage and component usage, all that stuff, all that boring stuff. But yeah, I don't know. Encouraging, I think, that Lewis and Fernando are so close, because I think those two single-handedly, if they're fighting wheel to wheel, could single-handedly like save the races coming up. Like you could have a processional race, but if you get Lewis and Max going wheel to wheel once at the Austrian Grand Prix, that's pretty special. We don't get to see that very often. So like that could be pretty cool. Or Stroll, obviously he could be in there, but I don't think he will.
So I totally disagree with both of you, because as Perez has shown by failing to even reach Q3 3 times in a row, and as most qualifying sessions show, Red Bull's advantage in raw pace over one lap isn't huge. Like their advantage comes from looking after the tires a bit, but it's better in a race because they look after their tires a bit better. But that's why because they can't turn them on for quali. That's why maybe their qualifying performance doesn't stand out. But they can come under a bit of threat there over one lap, which is raw pace of a car. So what they've got is a car that's stronger in race trim. But I don't think it means that they're hiding like half a second or a second of raw pace, because you'd see it on a Saturday, when otherwise they wouldn't be getting beaten in Baku and things. Like I don't think the advantage is that big. I think Max is performing excellently. I think the team is performing brilliantly. And I think they've got about half a second on everyone. But Alonso said it at other races before as well, and Mercedes have said it. Like, just because Max is cruising because he has no threat, you know, he's going to finish first. Sometimes Alonso or Hamilton are cruising in second because they can't catch Max, so they just need to make sure they do all they can do to finish second. And if they go flat out but still lose a tenth a lap or 2/10 a lap to Verstappen and then screw their tyres and need an extra pit stop or are vulnerable to a car later on behind, that's pointless. So you still manage. Everyone manages during a race. So I think people are overstating how big that performance gap is.
Matt just went green as he said that.
He did.
On his camera. I don't know what happened. I thought you were doing a special effect. His whole camera went green, like you'd been sludged, like you'd been slimed by a Nickelodeon TV or something.
It was my Hulk moment when I was
Hulk
like,
moment. Yeah, getting if that's ranty. Your Hulk moment, it doesn't take much to get you angry.
Yeah.
I might have to. Well, I'm just glad you're not jumping out of the plane the same time Lawrence is, because that would be very upsetting. You'd be full on green before it even left the floor, left the ground. Mm. I think it's gonna. I mean, I'm at this point. Obviously, Max is gonna win the championship. I just kind of wish at this point there weren't so many races in the season, because I feel like we're gonna get to the point where very, very quickly it's just very repetitive, and I don't think that's ever good for people's kind of enjoyment of something. Was it 8 races? So we're just over a third of the way through the season.
Yeah.
And we already know who's going to win the championship. I think that's pretty bad.
But we can still focus on the fact that, like you said in the review, Max is doing an incredible job, right? So I guess we should just focus on...
Oh, absolutely.
Focus on the fact that what we might be seeing is one of the greatest performances in a single season that we've seen in years. And you're right, in terms of a pure one-on-one spectacle, race by race. Okay, it's not...
Can I just ask a quick question?
Yeah.
Matters, how much food do you have underneath the camera? Because every time I look at you, you're picking something new up to eat. There was a sandwich, just had a smoothie, just had a little banana or something. Unbelievable. No, I'm trying to listen to a great point Lawrence is making. And in the other window, you've got Medders there just devouring through a co-op meal deal by the looks of it.
It's exactly what it is. I was about to say that I had finished my sandwich, but that's all I've eaten. So yeah, the smoothie, that's part of the meal deal. And it's called Energize.
Oh, that's
to give me energy.
I like that smoothie. That Energize smoothie's good.
Yeah, that's the deal with you guys. And
just for listeners, we're not sponsored by Energy. I don't know why. Medders did that like an advert or Energize, whatever that was called.
No, it really is. It's an innocent one.
Innocent smoothie.
But we're not sponsored by them.
No, or co-op. But I live above one. And now I'm going to tuck into the final part of the meal deal, which is some one of my 5 a day apple and grape pack. So
lovingly packed by the co-op and packaged by the good folks at the co-op. In Teddington.
I'm intrigued, Medders, that you are at home where you have a fridge and cooking facilities and you've popped downstairs to go up to get your lunch.
That's because I've not been here, so I haven't shopped. And when I landed yesterday, I got to see my lovely fiance for genuinely 10 minutes while I jumped in the shower and ironed a shirt and left again. And she's not here anymore. She had to go up north. So that was our crossover point. And then I was out all afternoon filming with you. Which I thoroughly enjoyed, but wow. So I actually got home last night at about 7:30 with loads of work to do and shattered, and then had to get up early this morning to do the same. So I've been recording other radio shows today. Did Wheel to Wheel this afternoon, so I had no time to go for a proper shop, so I just nipped down. But also, it's the perk of living above a co-op. This is riveting F1 content for our listeners, but you can just nip down and get what you need when you need it, rather than buy and waste things, so my waste is lower.
Okay, all right, fine. I kind of wish I didn't bring it up, Medders. I apologize.
Yeah, what's your rebuttal to that?
What's
your rebuttal? No. Let's hear it.
Did I go green?
That's what I thought. You got nothing to say.
Nate, I was just about to give you a plug, mate.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, there Wait. We go. Now you're going to listen, aren't you? Well, talking about other shows. So, Nate, you did an interview at Daniel Ricciardo, didn't you? That was supposed to, I believe, go out on SportsCenter, to the point where you and Medders went to the pub and got them to put it on the telly just so you could see it. Do you want to continue the story from there?
We did. I mean, to be honest, that's the best bit of the story. So I did this interview with Ricciardo on Wednesday, so the day before media day, obviously middle of the week, but we'd already gone to Canada. Did this a very short interview, and it was kind of half of it was promoing the grandstand he did with Will Arnett for the race on ESPN2. And the plan was it was going to go on SportsCenter from 10 PM on Saturday. So I'd said to Medders, if we can find a sports bar, they'll definitely have ESPN. We'll stick it on. And I found that.
I am such a good friend.
Medders did. And to be fair, Medders found a sports bar that was in walking distance from both our hotels. We went. We were a bit late, but I was like, I don't think it would have been on yet. And I messaged the producer, said, no, it'll be coming on at 11. So we got there about 10:30. Got there, and this place was open for about 2 hours. So we're like, perfect. And we got the biggest pint. I don't even know what measurement it was. It was huge. And we were just watching, and I, you know, there was loads of like, can you put it on ESPN too? And it was like, no, it's actually on main ESPN. And they were like, why do you need this? And I was like, well, cause I'm going to be on it. So they kept coming over and be like, you've been on it yet? And I was like, not yet. As we looked up, and it was like the fifth lacrosse highlight, you know, of the day. But in the end, there was just, you know, a very, very technical reason about the production of the actual video is why it didn't go on, and a misunderstanding between the producers of one show and another.
Nate was in the video. That was the
term. Yeah, they were like, who is this guy? Why is he talking to Danny Rick? Can we never have him on again? Good feedback, I thought. Constructive. No, but...
Compelling and Rick.
And Rich. But luckily, the quote that I actually got from Ricardo, because I mentioned it to you, didn't I, Lawrence? Mm-hmm. I said, it's actually a really good quote that he just kind of gave me in this very short interview about how... And it gained a bit of traction yesterday because, you know, I ran the story on ESPN.com about how he said it would be a fairy tale to race back at Red Bull. And I spent a good half hour going back and looking at everything he said since he left. And he's never been that explicit about actually wanting to go back. It's been pretty obvious that's where he wants to go. Like, it'd be stupid not to want to go back there. But to actually say it in public and to say it that candidly and to kind of hint, I don't know if you guys read it the same as me, but that second line when he said, I'm willing to work my way back up there as well, seemed like a very strong hint that he has now kind of changed his mind and is actually open to that possibility, which is very interesting because even a few months ago, it was, no, it's got to be front-running seat. But I think now he sees that the only way back to Red Bull, they're never going to say, we're going to put you straight back in the seat. Let's say Perez did mess up this year so much they did that, because there's still that gap and that doubt in their head of, are we getting good Ricardo or are we getting bad Ricardo from McLaren? And, you know, the smart money would say, well, probably you're going to get a mixture of both at best. And then you put him in a seat against Verstappen. So if that's not going to kill his confidence, you know, what would? So it turned out okay. But yeah, it was funny. And Meadows, to his credit, stayed there the whole time. We ordered a huge amount of poutine. George Douglas from Give Me Sport was there as well. And he was a great sport about it. So, you know, they should rename the website to greatsport.com. And yeah. And the funny thing was as well, so just as a quick side note, the woman at the bar said, we don't stay open beyond, I think it was 12:30, unless we're at 40% capacity.
I think it was 11:30,
Yeah, and so I looked around and I said, well, is this 40%? She was like, nowhere near. So Meadows kept threatening me. He was going to tweet and be like, we're in this bar now. Nate has to stay. It has to stay open for Nate. Kind of glad we didn't do this in the end because it would have been thoroughly disappointing.
Tragic. Yeah.
And so every time people came in, I was like, 40% yet? And they're like, no, still not close. So they end up closing on time. But it was a good night. It was fun. And one of those funny nights we have in F1 that weren't planned, but just turned out to be quite funny.
I feel like they stayed open a bit longer. They did want to see.
I think so.
I'm pretty certain on their website it said 11:30. And yeah, I reckon we got through till gone midnight until
Agreed.
They were like, okay, yeah, this guy's not coming on the telly. In fact, he might not even be who he says he is.
This random guy's just come in here and we've just listened to him. He claimed out of nowhere, yeah, I'm going to be on SportsCenter. In future, they're going to be like, yeah.
Did you have the video, Nate, on your phone that you could show them? Did you have the card?
I did, but I didn't actually show that. I didn't think about that at the time, but I thought afterwards, like, oh, I could have shown them, like, hey, this is...
You could have got them to beam it up onto the telly.
Yeah, just cast it and then we could have pretended it was real.
That would have been amazing. Why didn't Lawrence, you should have come with us for this voice of reason.
I feel like invited him. And he was too busy.
You did ask me to join you, and I was somewhere else for what? Someone. Was it Emma's birthday? I was out for Emma's birthday, I think.
I'm going to look it up and find out. I'm going to see if this story checks out while we're live on recording. I told him, and yes, it was Emma's birthday.
There we go. Sorry,
and,
Nate.
He was going to leave soon because he needed to eat and needed to be in good shape for the grid walk. Ooh, segue. Barreto, grid walk. What happened? Go. Thanks, Barreto. Moving on.
I got to do the grid work on F1 TV, which was very exciting. I've always wanted to do it. So it was Will Buxton waiting for a baby to arrive. I was covering for him, which was cool. And I had set up to...
His baby, I hope. Not just waiting for
like order of Amazon.
Go on in the post. And yes. He's like, these guys never turn up when they say they will.
Yeah. Left in a safe space.
Didn't want it in the locker. I wanted it. Oh, God.
You boys. So I lined up to bump into Nate and Meadows on the grid.
Don't give away your secrets.
That wasn't pre-planned. That was spontaneous.
I just spontaneously bumped into Nate and Chris on the grid. And I was walking down and I was really enjoying it. I think I got a little bit too much into it. So I had my producer Joe in my ear giving me counts and stuff. But at some point between giving me a 4-minute warning and the 1:30 warning, I'd just blank that part out. Because I was just enjoying bouncing around, talking about whatever I could see. Found Nate, talked to Nate. I gave him a little nudge on the shoulder to say, that's enough of you, Nate, because it was a great answer, but I had to move on. Nate,
yeah, Nate. And I could see. And also, there's a great photo, and one of our listeners sent me a message saying that it looks like we're debating a low joke. A listener called Christy sent in. And it does, because I was talking to Lawrence, and he was just staring at me very intensely, and I realized obviously he had a countdown in his ear. It kind of put me off a little bit, because I was like, where's the love? Where's the love? You know, what's going on here? It's my F1 TV debut, and I'm getting glared at by the producer.
Well, it was
so much so that I thought the question you asked me wasn't the question I was answering. Like, I was like, maybe I just heard Perez and answered something different. You know?
Yeah, but it was a great answer. It was perfect. It was great, and I was really happy. I was like, this is perfect. This is exactly what I need. Then about to bump into Meadows, and they're like, the national anthem's coming, the national anthem's coming. So what happens at the end of the grid walk is you have to throw to a hard count. So whatever happens, they're cutting me off, so they've got to go to the national anthem. That's not moving, not even for me and my grid walk. So they're going, the national anthem's coming. I'm seeing Meadows. So I was like, oh, there's no time to talk to Meadows. I'm only on row 4, where the McLarens are. I'm supposed to have got all the way to Max. So I literally just run as far as I can, do a little spin and go, well, this is where I've got to, guys. Let's go to the anthem. So the throw was actually much better than I've just said it was there. And it was good. And I was buzzing. But I just got caught up in the moment, guys, because I was having such a great time. So, Meadows, sorry that I didn't get to talk to you. Nate, thank you for talking to me.
Thank you, mate.
I saw James Vowles on the grid. And because you're just in the moment and I'm not really paying attention, I just steamed straight in into a team photo. And so James was like, we'll just step this way, shall we? And laughing about it, found it funny. And I was like, so I watched it back, and yeah, I just, sorry to the Williams team. You were having your photo semicircle stood behind the back of the car, and I just stormed straight in and started talking to James Powell. So it was a funny moment, I think.
So what you're saying is you managed on your first grid walk to insult the great James Vowles in his new job. He's in a tough situation, new team, he's defending the floor, and then you come in, all heavy-footed. Lawrence, unbelievable. But no, it was cool to see, because the Canada grid as well is quite, for people, we've talked about the grids before, haven't we? Like Miami is chaos, like pure chaos. Monaco is pure chaos. Canada's quite quiet, isn't it? It's quite like spacious almost. You can actually kind of, you can walk around pretty easily. It feels like the grids used to be like, you know, when I first, you know, could join you guys and have the grid access. So I quite like that actually, because you can actually just kind of move around quite freely.
Yeah, exactly.
But I could see you. That's the point. I could see you most times. I was like, oh, Lawrence is doing this thing. Yeah, I could see where you were on the grid and stuff. It was great.
But I think also that was quite nice because JP, my cameraman, was able to do quite wide shots. So you can actually see a lot of what's going on a lot of the time in the grid walk when you're trying to like find your way through, weaving through people and stuff. It's just a bit hard to see other than it's a melee. So it was just quite nice to see what was going on. So yes, that was cool. So that was the second best thing that I did over the course of the Grand Prix weekend.
What was the best thing that you did?
Beat Carlos Sainz at squash. This time we filmed it.
That sounds like a sequel, doesn't it, to a film?
this time we filmed it.
And when do we see it, Mr. Brett?
So it went out on F1 TV ahead in our pre-race show, and then it will go out at 6:30 UK time. I've literally just had a text message about that. 6:30 UK time on today, Wednesday the 21st of June. It will be on YouTube and across F1 and Ferrari socials.
Nice. We will look out for it.
Yes.
It's probably going to be out by the time I actually get this episode.
That's okay.
Up,
so. I mean, I've already given away the result, but there was a forfeit involved. So if I had lost, Sainz would have got to throw me into the Rowan Lake in Canada. If he lost, which he did, he will have to put a video on Instagram stories saying that I'm the greatest athlete he's ever faced up against.
Well.
And where is it?
Yeah, I need to chase him up.
Exactly. Keep looking
chase
for it, fans.
Well, we'll put the pressure. I want to definitely chase that up because that's awesome. And that's a genuine flex that none of us can match. However, in the space of a sentence there, Lawrence, you mentioned both Ferrari, their social media, and being thrown into the rowing lake in Canada. The reason I bring that up is because our friend Josh Cruz ticks all those boxes. We've mentioned Josh on the show before. AlphaTauri. For 5.5 years, I think, head of socials, and he's now moved. Short move in geographical terms, But big move in terms of the grid to Ferrari in Italy. And AlphaTauri threw him into the rowing lake. And then Yuki jumped in after him. And that that video is done quite well. But yeah, I was pleased to see that because I saw Josh on the grid and you know he was taking it all in, his last race with the team. And it'll be weird, actually. I know that, like, obviously we associate teams with drivers, but for me, on a professional level, it's going to be kind of weird not seeing Josh at that team, you know, on the grid, like, just being there, because it's a small team, and he feels like part of it. So, you know, I think he was annoyed that everyone was getting all kind of soppy and saying nice things about him, but I'm going to do the same here and say he deserves it, and it was awesome to see.
Yeah, and he admitted himself. I saw him on Sunday morning at a chat before the race, and he said that actually... that morning he'd suddenly felt it, like, before coming in. He was like, oh, it's the final time I'm coming in to the racetrack with this team. So I think today may well have been his first day at Maranello. Certainly
week. So. It was. He said he's doing a lot of admin stuff, you know, like how it is with any new job. I think he's going through the different plans. He said he's on plan C, plan D already. filing different strategies away just for the team, just in case.
I asked which plan he was on. He said he was checking. It's a weird checking. Anyway, that was a terrible gag. It was very cool. Yuki's radio message as well was so sweet at the end of the race.
It was, yes.
Directly to Josh to say thanks for the last few years and have fun at Ferrari. And it triggered confusion, I hear, amongst Ted Kravitz, who had misheard who it was, like the name. So didn't know if it was a Jos or a Joost, and went asking... AlphaTauri who this he assumed engineer was on his notebook. He went to try and find out who it was and then found out, oh, it's just the social media guy is how I think most Ferrari fans reacted when they thought they were getting some superhuman race engineer. But he will do good things there, we are sure.
They're getting a very talented person. Like, he's turned around the AlphaTauri digital content, hasn't he? And I also love is that one of the last videos that he'll have done, or probably the last video, is very good content as well, of him getting thrown into the lake and Yuki dive bombing in as well. I think that's like the perfect way to leave the team.
I agree, yeah. I think, and it was great framing, whoever was actually filming it, because you don't see Yuki until he's like dive bombing in. So you don't even see that he's climbed up and he's obviously got himself ready to jump in. So yeah, good vibes, good feel good vibes all around there.
Now, just before we go, I want to point out that after Lawrence beat Carlos Sainz at squash on Wednesday morning, I then beat Lawrence at golf on Wednesday afternoon. And therefore, by default, I could beat Carlos Sainz at anything. If that's not a cue to wrap this up, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, let's call it.
Oh, he's gone.
Right, no. I'm gonna call it. I'm gonna hold it together just to say goodbye.
Are you?
I don't know.
Big claim at this point.
As ever, it's been a pleasure, chaps. You can read Nate's work on ESPN.com, Meta's work on Racer.com, and my work on F1.com. Please follow us on our social channels at The Paddock. We do appreciate it when you tweet us or get in touch via Facebook or DM any one of us individually. Thank you very much.
Au revoir, bye.
Do you notice he didn't say we'll do this again very, very soon because he doesn't know how this weekend's going to go.
If we'll still be friends next week.
Oh, geez. Or even alive. I really hope we're still going to be friends. Well, firstly, I hope I'm going to be alive. Then I hope that we're still going to be friends.
Yeah. I'd say that's a good priority list. A priority order. Life, friendship, ad hoc. In that order.
Find out next time. Bye.
Au revoir, bye.